Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we're going to jump right into the question. And you need to know it's something we do at Appleby, and part of the reason for having you talk to your neighbors is getting used to that, talking to people around you, whether it's in apartment buildings or on your street, about the things that happen at Appleby and also what you believe. So the question for you today is an easy one. I say that tongue-in-cheek. The question is, what do you believe happens after we die? And where does your faith come in? So it's a real easy one, okay? So what do you believe happens after you die? Find someone you know, introduce yourself, and go. Please stop. Thank you. Does anyone want to shout out a response briefly? What do you think happens after you die? When you're dead, you're dead. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Some people get to go to heaven. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Oh, okay, Faith. Yeah, that's right. You're not married anymore. What's that song say? Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Sorry, I never said that. I just, you know. Marco's not here, so I'm safe. Anything else? One more. Catch up on your sleep. Thank you very much. What was that? Meet the people who have gone before us. Thank you. What you need to know? Oh, yes. You can say it if you want. You need to know that the conversation you had and the answers you gave give you a sense of what was happening in the church at Corinth, to which Paul wrote this passage that we read this morning. Because they were asking, how can the dead be raised to life, and what kind of body will they have? Now, Brian McLaren digs into this topic in the chapter we are looking at this week in the book We Make the Road by Walking. And we're almost finished the book, and I have incredibly enjoyed it. And if you would like a copy of it, please let me know. It makes great devotional reading, and it takes you through the life of Israel in the Bible. It takes you through the life of Jesus in the Bible, and then the life of the early church. So it gives you a great understanding of our faith. Now, do you know what I found incredibly interesting about this week's passage? Do you know that just before the passage about the question of the rising from the dead, do you know what comes before it? The question about whether or not you pay your taxes to the emperor. Don't you find that hilarious? What are the two things that are certain in this life? Death and taxes. Thank you very much. So there they are here in Luke's gospel, one after the other. Is anybody here a gardener or like gardening? A few of you? Maybe you then will like Paul's example of the seed being planted in the ground as an analogy of what happens to our bodies when we die. That just as the seed, after it is put in the ground, is transformed and then given a new body when it springs to life, so it is with our physical bodies when they are placed in the ground. When they are raised, they are given a new body. Now, many of Paul's opponents in Corinth did not believe in the resurrection of the body. And you need to know that was pretty common if you had a Greek upbringing. They saw the body as weak, imperfect, something incapable of receiving God's glory. And they actually saw it as offensive to have a resurrected body. Kind of ghoulish images of resurrected corpses. A horror show. Paul, on the other hand, believed that just as the soul is embodied in flesh and blood while we are on earth, so our raised spirits will be embodied in the next life. And because we live on this side of the divide, we don't know what that new raised spiritual body will look like. Now, Paul's insistence on a raised spiritual body has something to do with the differences between the Greek and Hebrew understanding of the world. For Paul, our bodies were not cast offs. We were created in the image of God. Paul also describes our body as a temple that we are to take care of. Maybe that's the rise of all the gyms these days, right? Everyone, and that's good, taking care of their bodies. It's a temple that was transformed in death, just as that seed planted in the ground is transformed to have a new body when it raises to life. Please note that many of the nuances of Paul's arguments are lost when you try and translate the Greek that the New Testament was written in into English. And those nuances come into play when Paul says the first Adam, made of the earth, came from the earth, and the second Adam, in reference to the resurrected Christ, came from heaven. And just as we wear the likeness of the man on earth, what was Adam created out of? Do you remember? Dust. Earth, absolutely, thank you. God breathed life into the dust. So will we wear, in reference to the resurrected Jesus, the likeness of the man from heaven. Now, while we cannot totally understand Paul's theological arguments, one thing is abundantly clear, that our mortal physical bodies cannot receive the eternal, imperishable, spiritual body that is necessary for us to live with God forever. And this transformation that happens to us when we die is based totally on God's never-ending grace and love, God's power. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we can buy. It is a free gift that is given to us. Do you have any questions about what will happen when you die? If you do, join the club. Please note that Paul isn't trying to answer all your questions, but by proclaiming the gospel of Christ's resurrection, he's trying to give people hope to face death without fear. Now, Brian McLaren's book gives us many great insights on how to think about death. Here is one of them. We often speak of God as the one who was, who is, and who is to come. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The God who was, holds and heals all our past, all our memories. The God who is surrounds us in the present, and the God who is to come will be with us beyond this life as we know it. As our creed says, in life, in death, in life beyond death, we are what? Not alone. Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks be to God. Now, with that realization in mind, I think we would agree with the writer of the psalmist, Psalm 139, who says, there's nowhere you can go to escape from God's presence. If you go to heaven, God is there. The psalmist also says, if you go to the world of the dead, God is there. If you go the furthest places, that's east, isn't it? Of the east, and the furthest places to the west, in other words, it doesn't matter where you go, God is there to lead you and to help hold you and support you. What an incredibly reassuring psalm. Go home and read it, Psalm 139. With this in mind, death simply means leaving the presence of God in this place we call earth, and then go to be with God in another place that we have called as heaven, that is vast and forever expanding future. A future based on God's love, God's grace, and God's care. And that is reflected in our passage from Luke today. Jesus answers the Sadducees, which was a religious group in Jesus' day who did not believe in the resurrection of dead, that in the passage about the burning bush, Moses speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the God of the living, not of the dead. All are alive to him. I love what one person said of this passage. Has anybody ever heard the phrase, once upon a time? Yes. He doesn't talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the sense of once upon a time, remembering them fondly with their stories, but rather Jesus speaks of them in present tense, that all are alive unto God right here, right now. Now, I realize it's a little hard to get our heads around that. But if you remember last week's scripture from Isaiah 55, it says, my thoughts, says the Lord, are not like yours. My ways are different from yours. And as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways and thoughts above yours. Recognizing and learning to live in God's presence. Wow. That is something we can do here and now. That is why when we open our service of worship, there's a title. What's that title? Do you remember? It's the call to worship. We label it as, thank you, acknowledging God's presence. Thank you. We ritualize it in our service of worship because if we can recognize God's presence here in this hour, it helps us when we go out where? Into the world. Thank you. To recognize God's presence the rest of the week. What are some clues for you in the world, in your life, concerning God's presence? When might you say, oh, I think God was in that? What are some clues for you?
When the lights are green.
When the lights are green? Thank you. I don't know if I want to ask about that one. I think it means when you're rushing to get somewhere, right?
I got The traffic lights. The traffic lights are green. Thank you. Anything else?
The birth of a child. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Awe and wonder. Anything else? Spring flowers. Absolutely. Creation. Robins. Thank you. How about deeds of kindness? You know, and fairness. Justice. Being held by someone as you grieve the loss of a dear friend. Because as we grow into recognizing God's presence in this life, I believe it will be easier to trust that when we close our eyes in death, we are simply continuing to walk in God's presence in a way that we have never known before, or in a way that we understand. How many of you here find it easy to accept the fact you are loved beyond measure? Can you believe that? Can you believe you are loved beyond measure? Thank you. Some days I'm not so sure. I don't know about you. I find it hard to believe that. When I think of how I mess up things I do, I love what Harold Kushner says. He says, we all have this little voice in the back of our head that says, if God or my neighbor knew what I was really like, okay, and what I said, thought, they would not what? They wouldn't like me, thank you. They wouldn't hang out with me. They would run as far away as possible from me. Okay? Wow. Spiritual practices help us to grow into the trust of the grace and love of God in our lives so we can learn to believe that statement that we are loved beyond measure. So what might we expect to happen when we die? Now, nobody knows for sure, obviously, but in the light of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can expect to experience death as a passage or a birth, the end of one life stage and the beginning of another. That might be why the butterfly is often used as a symbol for death, for this transition. What does a caterpillar build? A cocoon, thank you. What might a cocoon be thought of? A capsule, thank you. A basket, thank you. A casket, thank you. I didn't hear that correctly. The tomb that Jesus entered into. What happens inside that tomb? Thank you. A transformation. What comes out? A beautiful butterfly. Wow. Can a butterfly ever go back to being a caterpillar? No. Is this new life beyond the imagination of what the caterpillar could do or think? I think so. I don't think the caterpillar ever imagined the caterpillar could fly. Now, we don't know how this passing will come. It can be a slow slipping away in disease, dementia, old age, or a sudden jolt or shock of a car accident, a heart attack. We don't know. What we do know, however, is in that moment, we will be held by a love that we can't imagine and a love that will not let us go. And that, dear friends, I believe is incredibly good news. On the other side, we can expect to experience as never before an unimaginable light and energy of God's presence, that we will enter into a goodness so good and rich, a mercy and love so strong that all our evil and pride, lust, greed, resentment, fear will melt away. And in that moment, we will understand how fully we are loved and forgiven. Now, I can hear the little cynic in the back of my head. Anybody have a cynic in the back of their head? Thank you. I don't feel so bad. He says, well, if we're all going to heaven anyway, we're all going to be loved and forgiven, why all this fuss? Why do I come to church regularly or mosque or synagogue? Does anybody here play Monopoly? What's one of the cards you get if you go to jail? Get out of jail free card, absolutely. So why don't I just hand out get out of jail free cards at the end of the service and give you a few extras that you go and hand to your neighbors? Okay, why do I come? Well, I think at least I come to church to pray, do devotions, help our neighbor, to not only grow into a sense and understanding of God's presence, but also to lessen the pain that I experience in life now. Because the better I can learn to love and forgive myself, the better I can learn to be able to love and forgive others, especially those close to me. The better we learn to help others and work for right relations and justice now, the less hurt and pain and anguish that will be experienced in the world. And that is why I come to church now, and that is why I struggle to grow in a relationship with God now and to learn the stories of Jesus better. This past week, I went to a One Burlington Celebrating Faith and Culture planning meeting. It happens this civic holiday weekend. Anything we can do to show people of different faith, races, and cultures can celebrate and have fun together will help reduce the hatred in the world that spawned the shooting in New Zealand's mosque 2 weeks ago, or in the Quebec City mosque that was the impetus for this festival 3 years ago, I believe. Did you know what the shooter wrote on one of his guns? The name of the person who shot in the Quebec City mosque. He saw that as an example, took courage from it, and mimicked it. Here in Canada. Wow. Brian suggests that when we die, we expect to feel a sense of reunion. Yes, with loved ones who have died, but also great-great-grandparents, our cousins to the nth times removed. The book 90 Minutes in Heaven describes a person who was hit with a tractor trailer and describes his near-death experience that confirms a sense of being loved beyond measure and also seeing significant people in his life. A story that is not uncommon to other people who have had near-death experiences. So this sense of reunion jives with what the Bible describes as a great future messianic banquet around God's table of joy that happens after we die. Paul's words comparing the first and last Adam, that the perishable must put on the imperishable, give us hope in the face of our own death. Those words that along with Jesus' death and resurrection, and Jesus' words that God is the God of the living and not the dead, for all are alive unto God, help us to go forth trusting in God's goodness and love, knowing that when you pass from this life, you will not pass into death, a nothingness, a void, but rather you will pass through death into a life lived with God that is beyond our imaginations. So do not be afraid. Trust in God's love now. Grow in God's love now and live. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is one that uses those images that Paul uses, the caterpillar as well as the seed. In the bulb there is a flower, number 703 in Voices United, 703.